Thank you very much. I wanted to first thank the organizers and especially Stella for inviting me to present at this session. I think maybe an odd one in this group, being an economist, so excuse if I don't follow the conventional rules of an agronomic society meeting in some of the presentation etiquettes. So my topic, I was given to say something about an overview, a sort of a broad insights and findings of what, from an economic and policy perspective, how do you increase this challenge of increasing farmer access to high quality inputs. So this is my outline of what I want to present. Just some points of agreement and motivation to bring us together in why we are having this session. Then I'll present some evidence on what's the current use of inputs by farmers and some explanation of what determines these observed variations in the input use and the implications of what can be done. The focus of what I'm going to present will be sort of, as I said, very high-level overview to bring out some key insights based on nationally representative surveys, mostly the LSMS IAS surveys from sub-Saharan Africa. So that's the focus, the continent of Africa, and also draws heavily from a recent issue in food policy, the journal Food Policy. And the focus is, as I said, more from an economic and policy perspective, how to address this challenge. So in terms of our agreement and the motivation, I guess I just wanted to make sure we all agree what we mean by high quality inputs. I define high quality inputs meaning that it's high performing relative to whatever the conventional inputs or practices farmers may be using. And this is measured in terms of high performing in terms of productivity, cost, in terms of lowering cost, and increasing profitability. And I think we also agree that most of our research and development efforts are aimed to develop and disseminate or deliver this high quality product, such as improved seed, fertilizer, pest control products, and agronomic practices that are high performing as measured by at least one of these three dimensions. You know, either they are high productivity, lowering the cost, or increasing profitability. So why we are interested in increasing farmer access to this high quality inputs? I guess we can agree that this is to stimulate economic growth and reduce poverty, because evidence shows and experience shows, especially from the Green Revolution in Asia, that the sustained agricultural growth that's necessary for an economic transformation comes from expanded use of such modern inputs. And these are embodied in improved technologies, which are what the researchers focus on. And we also believe that gains from this diffusion and adoption of these inputs are enjoyed more broadly, not just by farmers, but ultimately by the consumers in the society. So what is the evidence of the use of improved inputs by farmers? And here I'll be heavily drawing on the data from LSMS IAS surveys, which are already analyzed, and I'm going to cite the source of each of these graphs. Most of these graphs focus on the six countries where we have nationally representative surveys, survey data: Malawi, Ethiopia, Niger, Nigeria, Tanzania, and Uganda. And I've just used three-letter acronyms for these countries. The modern use, as you can see, it varies across these countries, but overall it's relatively low at that aggregate level. But it's not uniformly low, because there are some countries like Malawi and Ethiopia where you see especially a high use or application of inorganic fertilizer. Also, in those two countries, we also see a little higher rate of use of improved seeds. But all other inputs, including the agrochemicals, especially the use is very, very low. Current use of irrigation, again, irrigation, use or prevalence of irrigation is very low in many of these, most of these countries. And here, Ethiopia and Niger are the sort of the two countries where it's about 5% of farmers or households using irrigation or farming based on irrigated system. But in terms of area per household, again, a very low figures of just 0.04 hectares at most per household that's under irrigation. Use of machinery likewise is very very low in terms of mechanization, and especially in terms of trend, mechanization has actually declined in sub-Saharan Africa over the last three decades. And a study I've cited here show that most currently 80% of the preparation for land and other practices during the production season is done by hand tools. Maybe 15% by around 15% by drought animal technology, and only 5% are using tractors. I think one of the, and this is one of the very interesting evidence on which sort of is striking or contradicts our conventional wisdom, which shows that we would expect that many of the inputs would be used synergistically to benefit from the synergies that come from using fertilizer, improved seeds, irrigation. However, what this diagram shows based on those household surveys is that there is very little overlap between these circles of that shows the use of these inputs. I mean, we would have expected fertilizer and seed to be more overlapping on each other, but at least in the case of Ethiopia, only about 10-11% of the households use both improved seeds and fertilizer, and very, very minor percentage of households use all three inputs together even at the plot level. It's a very low correlation between the use of commonly paired this inputs of fertilizer, seeds, and irrigation. So that's to me a surprising or a striking result, which goes against what we would have assumed that farmers may be using things synergistically. Again, the use of external inputs, purchased external inputs, is quite low, although it's not uniformly low, especially in Nigeria and Malawi. A high percentage of households are purchasing external inputs. But of those that are purchasing external inputs, the use of credit to finance those inputs is relatively low. Which implies basically that they are financing their own purchase of inputs, either from off-farm income or the income they derive from selling the agricultural products. You have noticed that Nigeria and Malawi come up as on the higher end of the use of purchased inputs, higher end of the use of inorganic fertilizers and also seeds, and mostly this is because of the input subsidy programs they have. So that could be driving the high use of these inputs behavior on the part of the farmer. What explains this differential pattern of input use across these countries? Well, first of all, that variation is not just across countries, but even within the countries, there is a great variation on input use, as shown in this figure by the different shades of the color, from very light to a dark brown. And what basically shows that within the country there are some parts of the country where there is the use of these inputs is much more intensive and higher than in other parts, and thus points out to perhaps the underlying heterogeneity also in the agroecologies, the soil types and characteristics of the the socioeconomic characteristics of the households and plots across these geographic areas. The same is with the use of agrochemicals. They vary widely within the country and across the countries. And when you decompose, what contributes to this differential input use, you see different factors come out as sort of the explanatory variables of this varied input use. And here is an example of the decomposition of the binary variable for whether household used the decision of whether they want to use organic fertilizer or no. The pie chart basically sort of shows the decomposition of this variables into five categories. The most striking and significant finding is that the country dummy explains almost 50% of this variation, which basically means that the national level policies or institutions and conditions that we cannot take into account in doing this decomposition almost absorbs many of this variation that we see at the very micro level. And this data is based on about almost 22,000 households survey data. So we do have very large sets of, large number of household level data from which these numbers are derived. In terms of biophysical variables, in total they contribute about quarter of the differences you see in input use. And market accessibility, another 11%, farm operation characteristics, such as the gender of the head of the household, the size of the household, their consumption behavior, etc., they contribute or explain about 16% of this variation. And socioeconomic variables, which at least as an economist, we would have expected that to be a big greater explanatory power, turns out to be very, only explaining about 4% of the variation you see across households in terms of the decision to use inorganic fertilizer. Gender differences in input use. Again, gender plays a big role in determining the level of inputs used at the farm as well as at the plot level. Male-headed households consistently across many studies have shown that they apply more modern inputs compared to the female-headed households. And as such, female-headed households also experience lower productivity and income from farming because they are using less modern inputs. At the plot level, the same kind of observations are observed, that the plots managed and owned by men, they use more, likely to use more inorganic fertilizer and other types of inputs such as agrochemicals. So even when you take into account the accessibility of modern inputs, and you make that you control for those, one can see that the returns on the use of these inputs on plots owned or managed by women is much more less lower than the productivity or the productivity gains or returns that men experience on plots. And this could be perhaps due to cultural norms or market failures or institutional constraints that suppress the productivity gains for women, and this is something, you know, that needs more investigation, of course. So what are the key insights from some of this data that I have presented, or the type of economic and policy research that has been conducted on this topic of increasing access to inputs by farmers? First of all, I think it points to the importance of the national level policy institutions and the macroeconomic variables that play a role in increasing access and making them available to farmers in the country, especially the smallholder farmers. And this finding or emerging results of our research sort of underscores the importance of the processes that are ongoing in Africa, such as the CADAP and other initiatives at the continent level. It also sort of underscores the importance of the role of not just input subsidies, but smart subsidies. And what we mean by smart subsidies is basically pairing subsidized inputs, grouping them together so that it promotes not only most subsidized commodity is the fertilizer, but it also promotes other inputs such as improved seeds. Also making sure the subsidies are not crowding out the private sector, and so coming up with ways to monetize the subsidy programs can further make them smart subsidies with the desired results. Second, the results also show that the concerted efforts that have gone into stimulating the use of modern inputs, especially in maize, in the last few decades in Africa, seem to be experiencing or resulting in some success. And perhaps such efforts need to be expanded to other crops. I just have a question mark as to whether that should be the lesson we derive from this, but it's one of the plausible way to move forward in terms of expanding inputs more broadly. Third, the importance of non-farm sector as a source of cash income to finance the purchased inputs. And what basically this means or implies is that development policies and programs that sort of spur this broad development of the rural non-farm sector can benefit the farm input purchase through and does increase the productivity and food security in the rural areas. The other key insights from this results or our the research we do in economic and policy area is this recognition of market failures, and that those market failures are a major constraint to access to inputs. And one of the major contributor is this underdeveloped transportation infrastructure. The undeveloped or underdeveloped infrastructure sort of leads to high transportation cost and thus very high price of inputs. And thus there is a great need to come up with new and creative models to think of how we can profitably serve the remote areas with this high quality inputs. And lastly, this is something I am personally very involved in doing, the research is this importance of strengthening the regulatory frameworks such that the inputs that are delivered are actually high quality and true to their nature. There is a lot of evidence nowadays that the seeds that farmers buy are counterfeit, or they are not genetically what they're supposed to be. Even there are issues of agrochemicals, the herbicides and pesticides that are in the market. There are many counterfeit products that are sold to the farmers, and they are less effective in doing the job, and thus it increases the cost as well as lowers the return on those products. So the importance of strengthening the regulatory systems to make sure that the inputs that are sold and made available in the market are of high quality, is also another important implication or insights that I would like to point out. That's all. Thank you very much for this opportunity to present this.